next few weeks, I'm going to be ministering on this theme, light in the darkness. Everybody say light in the darkness. Amen. Now, I've been working toward beginning this series for a few weeks, and I'm very excited about this. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of break the ice on this today. In today's message, I don't think it'll be a long message, but I want you to know up front that we're going to be dealing with sin today. Okay? God wants us to shine our light. Amen? And we can't really do that if we're burdened and bogged down by darkness in our own life. Amen, everybody. Okay, now the reason why I'm kind of focusing on this theme, light in the darkness, for just a few weeks is because I know that God will use us so much more, and we will be so much more effective if we learn what the light of Jesus is all about, and then we'll commit to live with the light on. Look at somebody close to you and tell them, turn the light on. Tell them, turn the light on. Amen. And we're going to base this series, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, or look on your screen this morning, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. Here's what Jesus said about his followers. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." And verse 16 says, "Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Thank God. Let your light so shine before men. Now, what I mean to do this morning is for all of us to begin realizing something about our life, and that is this. God intends for you to shine. I love that we're speaking on Graduate Sunday on this particular issue today, because graduates, I'll tell you this, Kelsey's right. You're going to face some new things and some new areas and issues of life moving forward, but understand this, not just our graduates, but everybody. God intends for you to shine. That means to burn. It means to eliminate his love and really his mission with our life every day, to have influence and to impact the people in our life. He said, "You're a light before men." That's the people you encounter every day. He said, "You're a lamp in the house." That's the people who are already part of your life, in your family, your home, and your church. But he also said, "You're a city on a hill." That's the people in your world. God wants you to have influence and to shine and be a big impact for him everywhere that you go. And so this morning, to help us kind of wrap our head around that, I brought something today to help me set an example. Josh, will you help me bring that up underneath that seat for me, son, just for a moment? You're just going to help me kind of understand this. I have with me a regular, thanks, son, a regular old bathroom scale. So we're all going to line up today. If I move it closer to this pulpit, the people in the balcony can't see. So let me just move. I'm just kidding. No, we're not going to line up today. I just want to kind of use this as an example today to show us something and why we need to deal with this issue in our life. And let me just step on the scale. Here we go. Let's find out. Uh-oh. I don't know why, but it says, hurry up. All right, now, I clearly can see that I weigh, wait a minute, it says air. Wait a minute. Clearly, I can see how much I weigh, but what I want to point out is this. This scale doesn't tell you everything about me. Okay, this scale tells me how much that I weigh, but here's the thing, you know, perspective is different for everybody. For example, I know how much I weigh now. Actually, I weigh just about every day. See, this is a deeply spiritual device. Did y'all realize that? See, the moment you step on it, you get an instant shot of being more humble. So there you go. This thing will tell me how much that I weigh, but you know what? I would look a lot differently if I was 7 foot 3 instead of 6 foot 3. I'm 6 foot 3. All right. That means I'm a stocky fella at 6'3" at this weight. I'm a pretty big fella. But if I was 7'3", I would have a slender look. If I was 5'3" at this weight, Pastor Mike was the first one to laugh. I want y'all to hear that right there. If I was 5'3" at this weight that I am now, I would look a lot more cuddly. All right. A lot more cuddly. The concept is here, guys, and I want you to think about this. This doesn't tell me anything other than how much I weigh. In other words, I can find out how much I weigh, but it doesn't tell me anything about what's going on the inside. It can't tell me whether, it doesn't know whether or not I am tall or short. It doesn't tell me whether or not I am hefty or I am slender. It won't even tell me whether or not I am sick or I am healthy. It just tells me how much that I weigh. By the way, a lot of churches can be like that as well. You can look at, something can look mighty big, but be very unhealthy on the inside. Come on, somebody. And it's the same principle for Christians and for me and you, for people. We don't know what's going on the inside, but the light that God intends for you to shine has everything to do with what's going on the inside, not the outside. Can y'all understand this? Okay, I can look at you, but listen, God intends for us to shine big for Him. He wants us to be a great influence for Him. So we got to turn our light on and keep it on. Amen, everybody. All right, how do we do that? It means to engage in the fight of faith and do what it takes to keep your light on for Christ and win your fights. Win your fights with temptations and with sins. Paul assessed it like this. He said this in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I want you guys to read this along with me, guys. Can y'all see this? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Notice what he did. In other words, I engaged my battles and I fought the fight and I won the fights with temptations. And I kept the faith all the way to the end, and he kept his light on. Okay? And that's what God intends for us to do. He wants us to keep our light on. And trust me, it is a fight of faith. But in today's world, in the world that we're living in right now, it's also a fight for faith. It's a fight of faith, but it's a fight for faith. Because church, we're living in dark times. Oh, we're living in dark times, but don't be mistaken. Light works best in the darkness. Timothy lived and served in dark times too, kind of like the times that we're living in. And Paul gave him an urgent plea on how to live in a dark era. Here's what he said. He said this in 2 Timothy 4, and here's the instructions. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and all teaching. And then he went on to describe a time like the one we're living in right now in verse number 3. He said this. Please look carefully at this. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Notice the scripture says they'll not endure it. That means they won't just be confused and mixed up about what to believe. They will have a conscience about what is true and what is right and wrong. And having a conscience about what is right and wrong, they will still shake their fist and oppose the truth that flies in the face of what they want to hear and how they want to feel. Are y'all following me? In verse 4, he says this. Here's what they'll do. He said, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. He's describing a time when people will refuse to stand for sound doctrine. That is, they won't know what to think. They won't know how to feel. They won't know what to believe. Because they've turned away from foundational truth. They've turned away unto relativism and to fables. That means that people would rather believe a lie as long as it makes them feel good instead of being grounded in self-evident truths. In case you were wondering, everybody, the time that Paul warned Timothy about is right now. We're living in a time when this level of spiritual and moral darkness is prevalent and attacking our families and attacking our churches and attacking our individuals and attacking our lives. Our children are in the crossfire of fables. And that's why we need to stand up and be a great light for Jesus, all of us. And the real sad thing about this scripture is this. Paul was not only warning Timothy about the last day's climate and culture in a secular society. This message is also about the last day's condition of many in the church. He said in verse number one, he said expressly, the Spirit says that in latter times that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That's why it's more important, everybody, right now than ever before, that we start in the house of God, making things right with God, so that our lives can shine for Christ in the middle of all this darkness. Come on, somebody. I want to encourage you today, but I want us all to begin right now looking on the inside and finding out if there are things about the light of Christ that God wants to use to expose in us so he can get rid of it. If we're going to be light in the darkness, we really need to land on this truth from 1 John 1 and 5. Please read this as I read it. It says this. He said, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Praise God. He went on to say this in verse 6. Here's the challenging part. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I want to read that one just once more, guys, because let's lean in and get a hold. He's saying you need to differentiate between what you're saying and how you're walking. And you need to make sure that how you're walking is lined up with how you're talking. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. And verse 7 says this, thank God for Jesus. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus right now? If you're born again and you're forgiven of the sin in your life, it'd be a good moment right here, right now, to lift our hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your willingness to forgive me. Thank you for your willingness to go to the cross and give your life for me, to shed your blood so that I can be forgiven and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb right now. Amen. Somebody might be asking, hey, PB, are we really going to deal with sin right now? Church, we need to. Sin and compromise are what dims Christ's light in our lives. Now, we may not be walking in a sinful lifestyle, but hear me out. We need to be careful to have an urgency about sin so that we can walk as children of light. You may have noticed this, but in this last days church culture, it's very unusual for people in the church to call sin, sin. Oh, we may have a problem. We don't mind saying that we've got a problem, or saying, well, it's our weakness, it's our struggle. We say things like, well, it's just what I'm dealing with right now. But hear me out on this, guys. Here's the truth this morning. You may have struggles and problems and weaknesses and issues right now, but you're never going to get rid of it until you begin to stop curling up next to it and claiming your humanity just so that you can lay claim to it and justify keeping it. Amen. You're not going to get free from it until you stop calling it a weakness and saying that it's your struggle, and you start calling it for what it is. It is sin. Sin is sin. Sin is not just a weakness. Sin is not just a problem or a struggle that you're dealing with. Sin is sin, and it will kill the light of Christ in your life and keep you from approaching the Lord with intimacy and passion and zeal the way he wants you to approach him. Sin is sin. Come on, somebody. Can y'all receive it today, guys? Pastor Brandon, you usually don't preach on sin this boldly. I'm telling you right now, God wants you to shine. He wants his church to shine. He doesn't want you walking around under a cloud all the time. He wants you bringing the light into the room. When you show up, he shows up. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Too many of us have been going around talking about our weakness and our problem and our struggle for so long that it's become a part of us, but we need to let the light of Jesus shine into your heart and into your life and realize that you don't have to live with it anymore. You can let him expose that thing, and God can finally set you free, and you can walk in the light of Jesus and impact the people in your life every day of your life. Come on, if you believe it, give him a praise. Amen, everybody. I'm about to give us three victory statements. Statements are going to flip the narrative about our relationship to sin and Christ's light in our life. And they come from Romans chapter 6 and verse number 12, 13 and 14. The most straightforward instruction about this issue in our life. Here's what it says in verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Amazing. Somebody else say a good one right there. Amen. Let's read verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. What a blessing. Verse 14 says this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. I love that part. It's my favorite part of the day. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Praise God. Are y'all ready for these three statements, guys? We're going to call it three faith-filled declarations of living in the light. Who's ready to live in the light this morning? I don't want anybody to feel like you're being beat down over the head over your problems. Listen, God's hand is a hand of love, and it's a hand of grace. But we need to understand something. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could see how closely we can cuddle up to sin in our life. He died on the cross and shed his blood and was horribly murdered so that we could be forgiven and set free from the things that create distance between us and our Father. Amen. This is part one of this series. And I just want to begin here because we're never going to shine as boldly and as brightly and illuminate the world the way God intends if we're spending all of our spiritual time and focus trying to overcome the things that Jesus has already died for you to overcome. Living in the light, three victory statements. Number one, here it is, and we need to get used to saying this. Sin will not control the way I live. Come on, can y'all say that one out loud with me? Ready? One, two, three. Sin will not control the way I live. Didn't that feel good? Can y'all do that one more time? Ready? One, two, three. Sin will not control the way I live. Straight from Romans 6 and 12. It's the first step in being a light for Christ. It's letting his light begin to expose something in you that God wants to get out. It's that stronghold. It's that issue. It's that dirt that you defend. It's that thing that you've been saying for people to years to folks. You know what? It's just my issue. It's my thing. It's my problem. It's something that I'm really struggling with right now, and it's my weakness, and I've got compassion on everybody who deals with weaknesses. I certainly deal with mine, but folks, we're not going to get over it until we start calling it for what it is and declaring that it's no longer going to control me. My faith stands in the power of God. Come on, somebody. It's time to stop being controlled by the thing and start illuminating that darkness and bring light to you and the people around you. Sin will not control the way that I live. Can you say it? Come on. Amen. That's a good one. Romans 6 and 12. Faith-filled declaration number two. Let's look at it. We got to get it. It's straight from verse 13. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Y'all, come on, say it out loud with me, everybody. Ready? One, two, three. I was dead, but now I am alive. Y'all sound good saying that. Let's say it one more time. I want you to say it till you believe it. Ready? One, two, three. I was dead, but now I am alive. This is why I'm teaching this today as a declaration. Because instead of rehearsing and practicing and claiming the issues and the bondages and the things that are holding you back and preventing you from shining like a big city on a hill, it's time to declare something new. It's time to begin to declare something over that issue that's holding you back and saying, you know what? I could give into this issue right now, but sin's not going to control the way I live. Why? Because you know what? I was dead, but now I'm a living. I'm alive. I've got a brand new life right now. Can you receive it this morning? Romans 6:13 said that you were dead, but now you have a new life. And the light of Christ, the Bible says, is the light of men. Why don't you just confess this victory statement the next time your issue tries to drag you back into that old way of living? You can say, I was dead and vulnerable to that thing, but not anymore. I've got a brand new life now. Praise God. I'm going to shine in this darkness. Number three, I love this one. Straight from verse 14, sin no longer has dominion over me. That's a good one. Sin no longer has dominion over me. Can y'all confess it with me? Ready? One, two, three. Sin no longer has dominion over me. Praise God. Doesn't it feel good to say a big faith-filled declaration sometimes? Sometimes you got to be like David. The Bible says he sometimes had to encourage himself. There's not always going to be somebody right around the corner when you're having a dark day to lift you up and to give you a good word or a prayer. You got to have the discipline to rest your faith in what Jesus did and remind yourself of the attributes and the traits that God intends to be applied to your life right now. Things like sin won't control me. I'm alive where I used to be dead, and sin does not have dominion over me right now. If you'll start saying those things and believing them and applying this truth of Scripture to your life, those fables that are trying to hold you down and hold your family back will begin to disappear. You will turn it around. Sin will not have dominion over me. What a statement. Right out of Romans 6:14. Let me tell you about this statement. It's an attitude. Everybody say attitude. This is the kind of attitude that causes you to step out of darkness and bring His light with you everywhere you go. It's an amazing attitude. You know, sometimes great people, good, well-meaning people, sometimes even people who are committed to living right seem to walk around under a cloud looking for something or someone to pick them up. And we all have those days, but it shouldn't be a trend in our life. Amen. Sometimes I've noticed it. Sometimes even good people who love the Lord seem to walk around with less victory than Jesus died to secure for you. Come on now. It's like you're walking around underneath a cloud that seems to be following you everywhere that you go. And you know you love the Lord, and you know you're relying upon Him. But for some reason, that next level of victory, that next level of freedom just kind of eludes you. You always seem a little bit too reliant upon somebody or something in some circumstance or scenario to come into your life and give you some good news or remind you of Scripture or something. So for some people, it's even a song. Something to lift the cloud off of your life. But let me tell you something, church, right now. I just want to declare it in your life. Right now, as of today, that's not going to be you anymore. When you get your issue covered under the forgiveness of Jesus, you're going to come out from underneath that cloud once and for all. You're going to change the atmosphere when you show up into the room. Why? Because you're bringing the light of Jesus Christ with you when you walk into the door. Come on, if you receive it, come on, say a good amen. Amen. Today, these statements apply to your life if you're born again. Shining like light in the darkness requires that we first look inside our own life and our own heart. Pastor Brandon, what do you mean? I'm not saying to anybody in here that you're dealing with some kind of deep, dark walk in sin, or that you're just kind of living a double life. And so look, sin is deep, man. Sometimes it's an attitude. Sometimes you're dealing with things like bitterness, unwillingness to forgive somebody. That's a sin. And we need to be reminded that Jesus said, unless you forgive others, the Father won't forgive you. That's all the incentive I need right there. Somebody asked me one day, how is it that you forgive everybody so instantly and so quickly and nothing ever bothers you? It's because I know how quickly and thoroughly I hope my Father forgives me when I need it. So I don't really have the right and don't want to be self-righteous enough to withhold forgiveness from somebody when they wrong me, because you know what? Jesus died for me. And I've got to forgive. It's just something. I don't care what it is. It could be an agenda. It could be a thought pattern or process that's displeasing to the Lord. It could even be a hidden sin, man. It could be something that's just causing you to not have the victory in your life that Jesus has for you to have. Whatever it is, I don't know why the Lord put this on my heart today to preach to this congregation this morning, other than this. We need to deal with the finite issues and the areas of life that prevent us from shining like a great light, like a city on a hill in our life. We all have something to deal with, and we're going to repent this morning. You know, sometimes your next level really begins not with learning a new system or a new program. Sometimes the doorway and the on-ramp to your new level, it just starts through repentance. Amen, everybody. Amen. Let's pray now and ask God to begin to expose every little thing in us this morning. God's got a next level for you. And we're going to pray and believe God together for him to move in our life. I will say this, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed this morning, this is a personal prayer. This morning, it's not really about the people next to you. It's not really about your family. It's not really going to be about the church or anybody around you or people on the job. I'm just talking to you right now. God's got a thing to do in your life. And that thing involves cleanliness, and it involves forgiveness. And nobody's going to ask you to confess your sin and make a big deal this morning. But you got to deal with that thing so that God can bring you up out from underneath the cloud and give you victory. God, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for myself first, Lord. I pray that you, God, just move in my mind and move in my own heart and life right now. God, help me to be honest with you and with myself this morning. God, that every area that I've protected, every issue that I've justified, every time I've called something a weakness or a problem or a struggle or an issue, when Lord, it's really just sin. It's really just something that my flesh wants to hang on to. God, I pray that you forgive me. Lord, how I want to shine. Lord, how we need to shine for you, Lord. Lord, forgive me, Jesus. Forgive us right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you prick the hearts of every person right now. Draw us into your light. God, helping us to deal with everything and be changed once and for all. And I thank you for forgiving me. Come on, church, get it under the blood of Jesus right now. Just take a personal moment, get it under the blood of Jesus. Finally. Pastor Brandon, if I repent right now, my spouse is going to know, and he or she will expect me to live differently. That's good. You need to be a light and shine in your family, in your home. Part of getting serious with the Lord and making all these things right with God and deciding to be a great light is the accountability of scrutiny and being willing to say, hey, I'm changed and I'm ready to shine. I'm ready to be different. I've been holding on too long. Lord, do it in our hearts right now. Are you repenting, guys? Tell you what, do, guys. We're going to worship today, but because he's forgiving us right now in this place. When you're dealing with something this morning, and you repent and receive His forgiveness, will you do this? Once you've dealt with the thing, make a statement by standing up. Would you stand up? Thank you. Would you stand up? If you dealt with something, just stand up. Thank you. Just stay standing all over the house, guys. Once you've dealt with that thing, just stand up. Everybody in here should be dealing with something. The book of 1 John says, he who says he has no sin deceives himself and the truth is not in him. You can't not, don't deceive yourself this morning. Just there you go. Once it's under the blood, just stand up. Just be a leader. Stand up and make that statement. You're saying, hey, I'm ready to shine. I'm ready to do it in my life. I'm ready to take that next step and go the distance. Thank you guys so much. Everybody, guests here today, we love you, we thank you, but you have the freedom to stand as well if you're dealing with something this morning. Just one more moment. One more moment of honesty. Going to let your light so shine before men. This is the practice. Tired of walking around underneath that cloud, and today you're coming out from underneath it and living in His light today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much up in the balconies, guys. Thank you all so much for dealing with it this morning, for trusting the Lord this morning. And I've always felt like an appropriate response to forgiveness is joy. Amen? An appropriate response to forgiveness and change by God is great joy and expressing gratitude and thankfulness for His willingness to forgive us. Amen? Walking fresh and new. I love what this scripture said about our condition. He says, you were dead, but now you're alive. You were walking in one condition, but because of Jesus, now you're walking in a brand new condition. Amen, everybody. Amen. Don't put your light under a basket this morning. Come on, be a lamp in the house. We need somebody to be a lamp in the house this morning. We got any lamps in the house? Thank God, thank God. I'm forgiven right now.